I have a question. You ready?
Yeah, I guess.
When, like, the whole time that you've, like, even when you were a little kid, when you played video games, did you scream at the top of your lungs anytime something good happened?
No.
That's a recent thing?
Probably. I mean, I think as a kid, I played a lot more sports video games.
Yeah.
I don't really know what it is.
So Thomas and I play, we play a video game together with some of our friends online. It's called Fortnite, and it's like, it's kind of like the arena in the Hunger Games. There's 100 people. You go around and find weapons, and you just try to take each other out. Last man standing, or last team standing.
Yeah.
And when Thomas first got married, he re-downloaded Fortnite on his PlayStation, started playing, and immediately his wife was wondering what was happening because Thomas screams every time he does something good.
Yeah.
Screams at the top of his lungs, "Let's go!"
I think last night.
And how did Maddie respond to that the first time she heard it?
I think she like stormed in the room and was like, "Are you okay? Like, is everything okay?"
And then the way I remember the story was her saying, "No, no, no, we can't do this. We can't have this.
You can't just like scream fire every time there's not a fire.
Lee, Lee, get him! Lee, come get me!"
Oh, man.
I think I also realized last night, because as soon as we began the game, you immediately started comforting your dog. You were like, "Dobby, it's okay, it's okay." And you were like, "What's your problem?" And I'm like, "I think I know what her problem is." Every time you turn that thing on, you become like a raging maniac.
Wow. That's such a big phrase. A raging maniac.
Okay, maybe not a... Well, we would have to ask guys that have played with us. It's so fun, though. Like, it makes me laugh so much.
I love to do that, but it's not... I don't know what it is. Honestly, last night, I played so bad with Austin and Eli the last time I played. Like, I don't know what... it was one of those things where it was like, I thought I had this weapon out, but I had a different one, and I would throw a grenade, and it would be like, "Oh, somebody's shooting us." And I'm like, "No, that was me.
That was me."
It's one of those type of games.
Well, it's amazing because our buddy Charlie plays with us too, and he's so good at it, and he makes no noises. He's just like, "I got him. There's a guy over here. I got him." And with Thomas, it's just like when you're playing in a team with both Thomas and Charlie, it's like one guy's like, "I got him. I got him. I got him." Another guy's like, "Let's go!"
I don't know.
And since Maddie's at Young Life Camp right now, you're able to give full vent to that part of who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Our dog, like, Dobby just, like, suction cups herself to me whenever I play video games. And I guess you're right. She's probably like, "Are you okay?
Are you...
Is everything okay?
Are you all right, buddy?"
She just, like, side-eyes me the whole time and, like, sticks her head under my chin. Or she'll, like, stick her head under the controller. It's so
That's
weird.
That's not helpful.
No, it's not.
You can't.
That's why I played so bad with Austin and Eli.
Just in case Austin and Eli are listening to... Do you think Austin and Eli listen to this podcast? But, like, just in case they're listening, that's why Thomas played poorly.
Yeah, it was
my dog. Was literally impeding the controller.
Yeah, it was my dog. She was getting in the way.
Welcome to Ancient and New, friends. We are going to talk about some scriptures that have been impressing us or catching our attention and just kind of talk about them with you. And I hope that it's an encouragement to you. You got something for us today?
Sure.
Where are we headed?
Philippians 4.
Whoa.
Man, I think I've done like 1, 2, 3 and now 4 for the past 4 weeks, maybe.
Philippians 4. That's awesome. Okay. I'm almost there. Give me just a second. My Bible drill skills are really...
Philippians... Philippians?
My Bible drill skills are lagging.
Philippians.
All right, I'm
sure
ready.
Sure it's pronounced Philippians? Are we sure? I was just thinking. Okay, Philippians 4, we're going to start verse 8, probably.
Ready.
Here we go. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you." I just think that's like, it's rich and sweet. And there's something about Paul too. Whenever I feel like, I always feel like Paul is like teetering on a line of like, am I going to scream at you? Or, you know, cause like, I could be wrong about that, but you know, like his letter to the Galatians is a firebolt of energy.
Not quite raging maniac, but
no, but like he's just fired. I mean, I just get the, that's okay. Let me walk that whole thing back. I just get the impression that he's extremely fired up and excited about what he's writing all the time.
So he could be upset or he could be just really hype.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he just gets like, oh, I can't, this is so cool. I can't put the pen down. Or I can't get so-and-so to put the pen down because I'm talking to him. And I didn't, like, I just see him like pacing back and forth and like,
yes,
I'll put this in there. Like, don't forget this part or whatever. And I could be way wrong about that. I have not read enough books to know what's for real about that. And this, I feel like this is such a powerful set of scripture, but I feel like it feels like a blanket, and it feels like he pulled like the ripcord and a parachute came out in the middle of his intensity and excitement. And I don't know. I think it's just super, it's just, to me, it's poetic a little bit the way he wrote it.
Talk to me about what you mean that it feels like a blanket to you.
It's just, it's comforting. It's helpful for me. It's a clear directive, right? Like, think about these things. Think about them. And if you find, like, and for me, that's helpful because it's like, if I find myself thinking about something that does not fall in this category, I need to probably chase that down or slide over to something else because there's a reason why he's saying these things. And then he says, and the God of peace will be with you. And this is right after he says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. And as a Christian, or just as a human being in the world that we live in, the idea that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, can be with me and guard my heart is something that I'm like, oh, please show me how to get that. I need that so bad, you know, because we don't live in a world that has a lot of peace in it. Any peace that we get is, it has to be from somewhere else because there's just not much of it here, you know, like,
right.
You can try to fabricate it but for me, I'm like, I want that from anywhere I can possibly get it. And Paul is saying here, like, hey, think about this stuff. And then whatever you've learned or received or heard from me, put it into practice and the peace of God will be with you. It just feels like such a helpful little, just a helpful little note for me to think about as my day goes on. I think when I've been reading this week, I have just gotten to this part. I've known it's coming. I've like put my seatbelt on and I've just, you know, I've like written down the words, true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. And, you know, there's something about thinking about or living in truth, right? Like if you're in the middle of, not even a lie is probably even too far. If you're in the middle of a narrative that isn't correct, there's not any peace in it. There's no peace at all in it. It's uncomfortable. It
gives you anxiety.
Gives you anxiety, right? If you're someone who has done something noble, that is an encouraging thing. And when you think about it, it's encouraging. It's uplifting. Same thing when you do something right. When you do something or when you are thinking of things that are pure, you just feel light. And I'm realizing all these words to me point right to peace. Like when you think of things that are lovely, whenever you are in the middle of lovely thoughts or conversations or whatever. And I love that he used that word. I don't know what the actual Greek word is there, but I love that it is the word lovely.
Yeah.
Because it's just I feel like you get it in golf and then about, you know, it's one of those words. It's like, this isn't used too often. Like, you know, not a lot of people describe, like, I think of like, Marcia Anderson, I think was someone who would use the word lovely, just like a very literate teacher who I used to have, you know, it's like, but not a lot of people use the word lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. When my mind are on those things, it's true. Like when my heart are on those things, it's true. I feel light. I feel peaceful. I feel content. I don't feel, there's no room for anything else.
Yeah. So the thing that, like, when I looked at this, the thing that I realized is that, it's like a strategy for peace that requires a lot of intentionality, because yeah. I don't actually know a ton of things that are always true. Like, you know, so right. like the things that I think about, I don't know how much of it is true, but if I made it my goal that like, I'm going to think about true things all day. Well, I've like the things I know 100% that are true, most of them have to do with Jesus, and there's, you know, it's just like, which means I'm going to have to direct my thoughts to him, which is a really cool strategy. It's like a intentionally like, okay, your goal is to, you're going to think a lot of things today. Let things that you don't know that are true, let them fly past your head.
Mm.
Like you, okay, it was a thought you had, and then just let it move on. Let it move down the conveyor belt.
Yeah.
The thing I'm thinking about is the baggage carousel at an airport. It's like, that's not my bag. I'm just going to take my attention off of it. Right. And I'm still looking for my bag.
Right.
Cause you know what your bag looks like. And so the ones that are not, you just let them go. Mm. And then it's like the bag that I'm looking for is something that's true. And it's like, so now I'm going to direct my, it's like, okay, I had some crummy thought that didn't make me feel good. I don't know if that's true. I'm going to let it go down the carousel, but I am looking for something true. Let me direct my mind to something about Jesus real mm. quick. And then by the way, it's also going to be pure and lovely and good and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And it's like, this is like a really flowery way possibly for Paul to say, hey, think about Jesus today. Think about him.
Mm.
Like just let your mind, like make your mind intentionally think about him. I never thought about the baggage carousel thing before, but that's actually like, as I'm saying it, it's like a super helpful way to think about, like arranging where you give energy to and your thoughts.
Yeah. I like what you said. It's another way of Paul saying, just think about Jesus as much as you possibly can, because all these are words in which you would describe Jesus as, right? Like right. Like I'm saying, there's no earthly way really of finding these things. Like, and maybe I'm wrong about that. I know there are like noble things humans can do. And
well, I mean, you know, it's like, Tom and I were on our run the other day, and in this pear tree, it was either like a hooded warbler or like a chickadee, but I'm not really sure what it was, but I mean, it was tiny, and so like the yellow was so vibrant. And then it was like, and then there were some black markings on the head, and goldfinch. Okay. So maybe it was a goldfinch. Anyway, it was like gorgeous little bird. And it was just like a moment of loveliness, you know? Nora, I got home the other day and Nora had been working on, she had been working on relearning this. Yeah, that's what it was. Thomas just Googled it. Just looked him up on his phone. It was a goldfinch. So Nora had relearned the piano for the Paul McCartney song, Martha, My Dear. And there's just some chords in there that are just, they're just lovely. And so it's like, there's some things that in our world that are lovely and good and noble and right and all that kind of stuff. I guess what I'm saying is every now and then, if I am trying to work through crummy thoughts that do bring me anxiety and I've got to hit reset on that, I might have to take my brain straight to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense.
No, I think so, because this is also the same. Is this the same chapter where Paul talks about, or was it chapter 3? He talks about having no anxious thoughts, but anyways, I mean,
no, it is chapter 4.
It's chapter 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have much more that I want to add to this. I just am, we've picked it apart, and I'm grateful for I do think it's just been an encouraging practice for me to try to like leave my morning and kind of resonate on these words. And it's exactly what you're saying. I think all of them point me back to Jesus somehow. So I'm grateful for that.
I want to look at Hebrews chapter 1 for a second. And the, there's one phrase in verse 3 that I want to look at, but I'm going to read the first three verses just because it's just such a, it's just really,
you like Hebrews
worded well. Hebrews is hard. Like for me, Hebrews is hard, but that there's some, there's, but I, there's a lot of cool stuff that I do love in it.
Yeah. I think it's, if you were, if someone were to like pin me down and say, what's the least favorite book of the Bible? I would say probably Hebrews.
You would? My favorite?
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
I would. I don't know if you know that about yourself. I think I know it.
This is Hebrews chapter 1. That was amazing. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Wow. Just a, that's a strong opener. I mean, wow, really, really cool. You know, just whoever wrote this book, we don't have an author, we don't have a signature, and church tradition doesn't give us a signature. Some people think it's Paul. Some people are like, what if it was a woman? Which I love that. It's like, that would be the coolest thing to find out, you know? And if Paul listens to our podcast, he's, and he did write it, he's like, why would that be cool? Why couldn't I have written it? I don't know if Paul's
think
like that.
Truthfully, true, noble, be noble.
But you know, he's like, in the old days we had prophets. God spoke to the, put a word on the prophet's heart. The prophet spoke to us. And now God has sent his Son, and he's the one that speaks to us. And he is the exact representation of God's being. Like, and just, he is like the glory of God and everything. And then he just says this beautiful thing, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Okay. So there was a lot of cool things in those first three verses, but sustaining all things by his powerful word. This is just one of those phrases that I realized, the older I get and the more things I go through, I've got to get to a place where I believe this all the way down in the marrow of my bones, that Jesus is holding everything together.
That's cool.
To the extent that I believe it, I have a light heart. I'm more carefree. I am not afraid. To the extent that I don't believe it, I believe that then I also think that it's up to me to make all the things in my life work out. And I could make a mistake that's going to pull my whole life off the tracks, and that I didn't do something 10 years ago as a parent or something like that, that now is unraveling before my very eyes and the whole thing is a disaster or something like that. I didn't do something as a pastor in the last 5 years and now this thing is unraveling in our church, or I said something as a friend to somebody and it totally tanked their da da da. You know, it's like, if there is, believing that this verse is true brings calmness. It has a relationship to the things that you were just talking about from Philippians 4. But I looked it up, and that word sustaining, where it says that Jesus sustains all things by his powerful word, it's a word that most of the time it's used in the New Testament. This Greek word means to carry or to bring. So like, this is kind of gross, but in Matthew chapter 14, it's used twice. It's used in the story of Herod and the death of John the Baptist. When Herod's stepdaughter says, bring me the head of John the Baptist on a silver platter. And so they go cut John's head off in a dungeon, and they literally carry it in on a silver platter. It's that word. And and then later in that exact same chapter, it's when Jesus says about the little boy's lunch, like, bring me the little boy's lunch. How much food do we have? Well, this one little kid has 5 loaves and 2 fish. Bring them here to me. And it's like, what the author of Hebrews is saying is Jesus carries everything. He's spinning all the plates. He brings everything that is brought into every life, into every moment, into every day, into every situation, every difficulty, every blessing. Like, he's the one carrying everything. And I just recognize about myself that I'm less afraid and I'm more filled with peace and I have a lighter heart and I'm happier when I let the truth of that phrase sink down deep into my bones. He's like, if I could put it as simply as possible in our vernacular, he's got this.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus has got this. And if I can get myself there today, I will have a lighter day. I'll laugh more. I will literally be happier.
Yeah, I like that. It takes a lot of pressure off.
That's us. Really well said.
Yeah, and it's completely self-generated pressure, right? Like, there's just a lot of... It's so easy for us to just be like... I mean, just for lack of a better term, it's like, hey, here's this, like... Okay, so let me back up. We did this thing... I did this thing 5 years ago where I took a bunch of high school guys backpacking in Colorado.
Yeah.
And they did this awesome thing on one of the days where we hiked this like 13,500 foot mountain and we have 50 pound packs on. Right. And like they do this thing where we're towards the end and it gets really steep. And at one point they tell you like, hey, unbuckle your waist buckle. And that's like where all the weight is like carried on your hips. Huh. And this is the way the packs are distributed. But when you unbuckle that, it all goes on your back.
Oh, wow.
And it's just like, and like, all right, do that. So we just,
on a super steep part. Yeah. Now all the weight's on your back.
50 pounds on your back at, you know, 13,000 foot altitude. We did this before the sun rose.
No oxygen.
Exactly. So you're just like, and you can't see because it was pitch black. It's crazy. It's just a nuts thing. And then we get to this part where they stop. And like, as they're doing this, they are laying out the gospel for high schoolers. Like,
yeah.
Hey, here's your life without Jesus, basically. Mm-hmm. This is what it's like. And it is crummy.
Yeah.
And then they get to the point where they share the gospel and they say, okay, take your pack off. Lay it on the ground. Leave it here. We're going to finish this. And it's just like, that's exactly what I'm picturing when you're saying this. It's like,
what a tactile experience of just like, you don't have to carry this.
No, you don't have to carry this anymore. Wow. And you just can like skip up the rest of the mountain because you're light as a feather, free as giddy as a schoolboy or whatever the thing is. But it's, I think that's such a cool thought. That's exactly what it made me think of was, man, if he's holding on to everything, if he's got this, that's so, I mean, you can feel the backpack just fall off your shoulders.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's nice. That's nice.
That's such a cool, when you started talking about carrying everything on your shoulders, the first thing I thought of was, things you've told me about Chipper Jones that he would always,
oh, that's what Tom, those are Tom's things. Yeah. Yeah, Chipper
would always say, I had to put the team on my back and carry it.
He's the worst. And I grew up loving
just that loving man. That guy.
I mean, I modeled my baseball career off of the way he plays.
Luckily, you didn't model anything else in your life
after the way that he does it.
Yeah, I mean, that was such a... I wasn't there on that mountain, but it's one of those things of like, you can feel it. Everybody knows what it's like to be carrying something heavy to the point where you can't carry it anymore and then to set it down and the relief of that. And that's what I want to experience. And just believing that, it's like just believing Jesus carries all of this,
right?
Literally his arms are strong enough to carry everything, which just made me think
the gospel project.
Of course you and I are on the exact same page. There's the company that produces the curriculum that our church has used for the children's ministry for the past little while sent us this book, and it's like a picture, a drawing of Jesus coming up out of the water when he's being baptized, and his arms are as big as the rocks.
Oh my word, they're huge.
He's just like Dwayne Johnson, just like coming up out of the river, flexing.
Did you see that painting Eric Peters found?
Yes. There's like Jesus and Satan
arm wrestling. Yeah. I think his caption was, "Don't worry, this is now in my possession," or something like that.
Gosh. Oh man. Christians are so weird with their art. Oh man. Well, I hope this has been encouragement to you guys. We're super thankful for you. Maybe by the next episode, I will know a little bit more about birds and won't have to ask Thomas to Google them in mid-show.
I'm just saying, if you saw a hooded warbler,
it would have been wild.
I would have left this room right now and gone to exactly where you were.
I have seen one before doing mist netting down at the Arboretum, but that was 25 years ago.
Oh, man. I want to go do that. Someone needs to take me to do that. I've literally never seen a hooded warbler. I just looked it up. It's really cool looking.
Folks, thanks so much for joining us. I am Lee.
I'm Thomas.
And this has been Ancient and New / A Bird Morning with Lee and Thomas.
When life seems to roll like a storm out of control, there is so much I don't know that is in your plan. You named every star and you placed them where they are. Every beat of every heart is within your hands. You proved yourself true. Help me wait on you. You know what you're doing. You know where I'm going and all things you're working. I trust you. I trust you. Trust you, I trust.